Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. You can take a look at your bulletin, learn about how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. This is a Fusion Sunday, and so a special invitation of welcome to our youngest worshipers today. You are welcome to stay in worship for as long as you would like. If you've got a lot of wiggles and giggles, they are welcome here. But if you need to stretch your legs a little bit more, the nursery is open down the hall today. Just a few announcements as we get started. I know many of you have been very attentive to the calendar and the fact that today there is a congregational meeting. This vote will be done a little bit differently. There have been a lot of questions about it, so I just want to take a moment to go over some of the procedures so you'll know following worship what to do. We will need everyone following worship to leave the sanctuary, head down the halls, grab a cup of coffee, and about 10 minutes following, 5 to 10 minutes following worship, we will have a table set up right outside the doors, right here. Everyone needs to check in before they come into the sanctuary. You will let Kathy Coons and Eric Vail, who will be sitting at that table, you will tell them your name. And if you are a member here at GPC, you will be handed a paper ballot. You must be physically present in order to receive a paper ballot. Spouses, you can't grab one for your spouse who's getting that extra cup of coffee. Everyone has to be there in body to receive the ballot. You will enter into the sanctuary and find a seat. The Reverend Amy Fowler, our presbytery moderator, our presbytery leader, will be moderating the meeting today. And so she'll walk us through what we will be doing. You must have that paper ballot in order to have voice or vote. It is your showing that you are a member here at GPC. And those paper ballots will be collected when the vote is. We will tally them, and by we, I mean our tellers, Kathy Coons and Eric Vail, and the vote will be announced at the end of the meeting. So Amy will walk us through a little bit more, but hopefully that helps everyone to understand what we're doing this morning. But before we do any of the fun Presbyterian policies and procedures, we're going to worship. And we've got some other announcements this morning about our worship life and our life together. Okay.
Good morning, Kate Stanford, and I'm speaking on behalf of the mission team. This congregation consistently is joyful in their giving to the community, but we don't always realize the number of thank yous that we get. I do call your attention to a thank you that we received from Heifer. And I have also put together a book of thank yous that we receive from our community partners, and I will put this out for people to look through, and as we get more thank yous, they will be added. So thank you for all that you do for the community.
Aaliyah.
Good morning. I'm Aaliyah Binko. I'm a member of the trustee committee, and I wanted to say there's spring cleanup on May 11th at 8:30, and the sign-up sheet is on the kiosk, and everyone is welcome and highly encouraged to help because the more hands is less work. Thank you.
Tom?
Hola, buenos dias. Well, you only have to step out your front door to know you're not in Guatemala anymore, Dorothy. But today is the last day that we can take your orders. So if you want a hanging basket that supports our Guatemala mission project, please be sure to fill this out. Put it either in the offertory today when it comes around, or give it to myself, or Bev Switzer will be down in Fellowship Hall right after the service to take your orders. So today's the last day, so thank you.
Morning. Say hello to my little friend. Yes, it's the flea market. And even though I said the sign-up sheets would be on the kiosk, there's too many sheets to put up there. So they are on the table outside the doors. And once you leave the sanctuary today to get that cup of coffee, it would be an ideal time to sign up before you have to come back in the sanctuary. So please, it takes a congregation to make this work. So we need a lot of help, a lot of different departments. We need chairpersons for the baked goods sale. It could be, you know, co-chairs if you want to work with your friend. And if nothing else, advertise for us, please. There are flyers out back. You can take one, put it up at work if you're allowed to, or your favorite restaurant. Again, check, make sure you can do that. Spa, wherever you go. See if it's okay to put up a sign, because that's where we get most of our walk-ins. So please do that for us. And please consider signing up. Thank you.
Friends, what an exciting worship we have today, planned for you by the confirmation team. So lots of great hymns and songs and liturgy to continue our celebration of Christ's resurrection. Let us worship God together. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We experience the resurrection with all our senses.
We have not tasted the fear of the first disciples.
Been called to bring healing to the scarred of the world.
We have not smelled the fear of the first disciples.
But we have caught the scent of new life emerging from the creation.
We have not heard Jesus' words of peace to us.
But we rejoice in the peace God has poured into our lives.
But we have glimpses of him in the face of everyone who loves and encourages us.
God has done marvelous things with our whole bodies. Let us worship our Creator.
Thank you. Creator God, in the fullness of time, you've helped bring forth the earth and the stars. You filled the earth with plants, animals, insects, birds, rivers, oceans, and so much more.
Forgive us for when we haven't taken time to enjoy listening to a bird sing.
Forgive us when we haven't more openly shared our emotions with you.
Forgive us for when we have seen a moment to share a laugh but didn't.
Hear us, Holy God, as we name other things for which we would like forgiveness and transformation.
Thank you for your transforming grace and joy-inspiring love.
In gratitude, may we live life abundantly with all people and all creation.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Does anyone know how many senses we have? What does that even mean?
Zero.
We have most of us have more than zero. All right. This is a younger group. I'm going to give it to you. We have 5 senses, and the senses are sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. And these senses are really important to us. And most days at worship, we actually use all of our senses. We might smell a neighbor's perfume or see, let's see, what do you see here? Raise your hand. What do you see all around us? I see lots of faces, lots of loving faces. What's something you often hear during worship? James, what do you hear during worship?
Voices.
Voices, maybe some music. Your dad might help with that. Well, this morning we're going to explore our sense of touch up here, and we're going to discover the power that is ours in the sense of touch. I have a bag full of different objects. See my sparkly bag? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to have some of you reach in and see if you can recognize one of these objects. James, do you want to go first? You want to reach in, close your eyes, close your eyes. Reach in and pull something out, and don't look. Don't look at it. See if you can discover what it is without looking at it. Feel it. What do you think it is? You opened your eyes. Ah. Oh, you already knew. Okay, so he already knew it was a stuffed animal. That one was pretty easy. Do we want to go over here? Close your eyes. Let's see if you can find something. And don't look at it. See if you can figure it out what it is. What is that? Did you have a little help from a friend? A baseball! Very good. You can put it back in. Okay, let's see. Anyone over here want to give it a try? Yeah, okay, reach your hand in there, Everett. Actually, I'm going to take out what we did already. Close your eyes. Okay, thank you. Grab one thing. Ooh, what do you think? A rock, you got that one really quickly. Right, you want to go? Close your eyes. Oh, this is a tough one. Let's see if she can get this one. What is it? A pencil. Very good. Okay, you guys were pros at this game. I think I have one more in there. It's a challenge one. It's really small. Close your eyes. Let's see if you can find. Close those eyes. I'm watching you. Close your eyes. I might have to help you find it. Let me see. What is it? A paper clip. Ooh, yikes. Exciting. Okay, so everybody, you used just your touch, and you figured out what a lot of these objects were. And you can often tell what things are by their size or their shape or their texture. And this morning, I want to tell you a story about a woman who experienced the power of Jesus just by touching him. So one day, Jesus was walking through a large crowd of people. The people were crowding around him so much that he could hardly move. There was a woman in the crowd who had a very bad sore that had been bleeding for 12 years. She had been to many doctors, but none had been able to help her. She had heard about Jesus, and she believed that he could heal her. And there were so many people crowded around him, though, that it seemed hopeless. She thought to herself, if I could just get close enough to touch his robe, I'd be healed. So she pushed through the crowd and reached out, and she touched Jesus' clothes. Her bleeding stopped immediately, and her suffering was ended. And the Bible tells us that as soon as the woman touched him, Jesus felt the power go out of him. He turned to the woman, and he said, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." So won't you reach out to Jesus today? If you will, you too can feel his power in your life. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we long to reach out and touch you and to feel your power in our life. Amen. Right, you can go back to your families. Thank you.
We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the world of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it. And declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of John. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. I absolutely love the ways our confirmation class this morning planned the liturgy and the hymns to focus on our five senses, as Jen shared with the youngest children this morning. But little does the confirmation class know that at one time, such an emphasis in the church would be scandalous. If we go way, way, way back into our Protestant and Reformation histories, those early reformers railed against statues and stained glass, icon images, and what is now colloquially referred to as the smells and bells of incense and that sharp taste of communion wine. The ornately decorated vestments for a priest who stood high on an altar, attended to by crucifers and acolytes in sacred silence. Presbyterians, over the years, have tended to privilege sound more than any other sense in worship. From the importance of preaching and reading of the word or scripture, to our intentionality about music in worship, we pay a lot of attention to how worship sounds. So it comes as no surprise to you that it was no accident when the architects designed our sanctuaries to literally be sound machines. From the early Reformation focus on the pulpit through the 19th century of the development of the science of acoustics, Protestant churches have made intentional provisions for our hearing. And that's true here at GPC. But every now and then, someone will share with me that, well, they're having trouble hearing where they sit. And I respond with that very scandalous suggestion that they try another pew. How dare I? I know. But this sanctuary was designed so that listeners could experience the acoustics differently, depending on where you sit. Just a hint, if you're having trouble, these pews right up front by the speakers, you can see, are often not sat in. But our life of faith encourages that sometimes we need to experience faith for ourselves with our entire bodies. The scripture this morning has Thomas demanding that he not only see the mark of the nails in Jesus' hands, he wants to touch where they have entered Jesus' skin. This Easter season is full of opportunities for all of us to encounter resurrection in very embodied ways. So just think for a moment, when you entered this space this morning, how did you first experience worship using your five senses? Was it the pew beneath you? Take a moment and just feel it. Put your hands on the pew. You can do it. It's all right. If it's more comfortable for you to put a hand out in front, feel its strength supporting you, this foundation upholding your very life. Now, very carefully, if you want, run your hand across that wood. I say carefully because sometimes you'll end up like Jesus with some holes in your hands. There are slivers. But just feel the grooves in the grain of wood. Think how large the trees would have had to have been to create what is sitting beneath and behind you. Now, how about your eyes? What do you see? What are you drawn to as you enter into this space? Is it the cross, or when there's sun, not this morning, when the shadow of it is cast on the wall? I don't know if you've ever noticed that. If you come in the summer, at about 3 or 4 o'clock, it changes as the sun does. But in the afternoon, the light that comes through the window up there will actually cast what looks like a dove on the wall. It's incredible. But you only really get to see that if you're here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible often uses sight as a metaphor for faith, but the scriptures understand how sight is limited. A defective or foggy mirror or dirty window permits only limited perspectives, even for those who can boast the sharpest eyesight. Mature faith, likewise, remains cognizant of its limitations. Don't limit the presence of God's grace only to those realities you hope to behold one day face to face. We encounter God's gifts in our ability to detect even subtle traces of salvation here and now. So thinking about maybe some of those senses you don't use as often here in worship, like taste. On communion Sundays, it's easy. But what about this morning? You might experience faith, as I did as a child, with the taste of my grandmother's candy from her purse, slightly tainted by perfume and the fuzz of Kleenex. You laugh because you know that can be the taste of God's goodness and a reminder of the generations that have gone before us in faith. Now, what about what you smell? You may not know that what I first remember about walking into this sanctuary was what it smelled like. It's very unique. It does not smell like mold and mildew like most churches do. Over the years, I've decided that smell are the beams of wood and the dust that settles on the bricks. Smells can be lavish and ornate, like incense or the perfumes that the women bring to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body on Easter, or they can be simple, like wood and dust. I think God's grace operates in similar ways. Sometimes we notice the beauty and splendor, and sometimes it's the simple, everyday moments of life. And of course, we can't ignore the Presbyterian favorite, how we experience resurrection and this good news of faith in what we hear, the sound of the organ or roy on the trumpet. If you've looked ahead in your bulletin, you will notice that the confirmation class picked out a hymn for us, for them, that sounds like faith no matter what time of year it is. Our scripture reading concludes this morning with the verse that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. For the gospel writer, Jesus' signs are not mysterious omens or vague coincidences that must be interpreted by leaps of faith. Signs are miraculous, yes, but always concrete, physical events. Think back over the gospel stories of water being turned to wine, 5,000 people being fed, eating bread and fish, sharing the cup together, Jesus walking on water, his feet physically stepping on the waves. These signs could be felt and seen and smelled and heard and tasted. As followers of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, Thomas simply asked him what he had offered in faith all along the way, an opportunity to literally get in touch with the body of Christ. And this is what we celebrate this morning, as three young people have made the choice to be confirmed, and another three have chosen to officially make GPC their church family. So we celebrate this morning. We join with them in their desire to make faith real and tangible, to experience it in our lives and in this world today. Friends, may it be so for you and for me. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.
Invite Kathy Coons to the pulpit as clerk of session, and then I invite the members of the confirmation class and their sponsors over to the font. Just stand around it this way. There we go. Are they? Come on in. It's all right. There we go.
Okay.
I think we've got them all.
On behalf of the session of Gates Presbyterian Church, I present Zachary Davis, Abigail Unson, and Molly Fitzgerald for the confirmation of the baptismal covenant into which they were baptized. They now desire to profess their faith publicly and to accept greater responsibility in the life of the church and God's mission in the world.
We rejoice that you now desire to declare your faith and to share with us in common ministry. It is in baptism that you were joined to Christ and made members of his body. In the community of the people of God, you have learned of God's purpose for you and for all creation. You have been nurtured at the table of our Lord and called to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Zach, Abby, Molly, do you desire to reaffirm the promises made in your baptism and become members of Christ's church? If so, say we do. Relying on God's grace, do you all promise to live the Christian faith? Do you?
To the congregation, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to continue to guide and nurture Zach, Abby, and Molly by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of the church? If so, please say we do. We do.
Friends, in presenting yourself for the reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. So I ask you these questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If so, please say yes. Do you trust him? Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love? If so, say yeah. Will you be faithful members of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way? And will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? If so, please say yes. It is with great joy that I present to you the members of this confirmation class. Please celebrate with me. And we'll pray. But first, we're going to have the confirmation sponsors introduce themselves and offer a blessing for the confirmand that they have sponsored along this amazing faith journey. We'll start here. There's a microphone right behind you. See? There we go.
I'm Carol Henschen, and I've had the pleasure to be Zachary Davis's sponsor this year. I've known Zach for a very long time, and I have a quick little prayer for him. Spirit of God, grant Zach the gift of wisdom to see the world through your eyes, the gift of counsel to make difficult decisions, the gift of knowledge and understanding, the courage to live in faith despite difficulties and disappointments, and to be able to express a special love and commitment to you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Tom Ward. It's a great honor to be Abby Unson's sponsor. She comes from a great family and a wonderful young lady, so I offer this prayer. Lord, bless this new disciple of yours, Abby Unson. This is indeed a great day as Abby puts her life in your hands. Walk with her on her faith journey and keep her safe as she pursues her dreams through sports, drama, and school. Amen.
Hello, I'm Tracy Berkovich, and have had the honor of being Molly Fitzgerald's confirmation sponsor. Lord, please bless Molly as she continues her faith journey. Help her to trust you and the plans that you have for her. Provide her the strength to hold her head high through all she may endure. Provide her with the knowledge of your unending love and all that comes with joining the GPC family. Amen.
Amen. And they are joined this morning by three others within the life of this congregation who desire to commit their lives and become members here at Gates Presbyterian Church. So I now welcome Roy and John and Bill forward to come join us up here. I'm going to have you all just take like three steps that way. There we go. But you're not going to sit down. Come on up.
Didn't see Simon Says.
I know. No Simon Says this morning. This morning we celebrate that God's Spirit is always with us. In our baptisms, we are called to a lifelong journey of learning and teaching. As we celebrate together, we remember that Jesus calls us to go and make disciples, to baptize and to teach. And this is our calling, to reach out to all the world and attend to the spiritual formation and nurture of every disciple. What a joy and honor it is this morning that we not only welcome our confirmands, but we share together in this day with three other individuals in the church who wish to profess their faith and reaffirm the baptismal covenant. John and Roy and Bill, do you desire to reaffirm the promises made in your baptisms and to become members of Christ's church? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Relying on God's grace, do you all promise to live the Christian faith? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Congregation, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to continue to guide and nurture John, Roy, and Bill by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
In presenting yourselves for reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. So I ask these questions to you. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
Do you intend to be his disciple? To obey his word, to show his love.
Yes.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be?
Yes.
Friends, let us pray together. Holy God, thank you for calling us to be your people, joining us to Christ's body, the church. We praise you for leading Zach and Abby and Molly, John and Roy and Bill to this congregation. Empower us by your Spirit that we may love one another as Christ loves us, honoring him in all that we say and do and giving our lives in service to others through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's celebrate again and welcome these new members. You guys can sit down. Congratulations. You're done. Yeah. All right. You're good? Go back and sit down. You're good. You're good. I know. They've been waiting for this. And friends, as we continue our time of prayer together, we bring those prayers of joy, the celebrations in our lives, and also the prayers that are weighing heavy on our hearts. If you have a prayer of joy or a prayer of concern you'd like to share, please raise your hand. Let us know who you are and share your prayer briefly with us this morning. I see Kate hand over there. Let's see. Got one behind you. There you go.
Good morning, Keith Stanford. I've asked you for prayers for a friend of mine whose son was hit by the car while he was riding his bike, and then she ended up being diagnosed with breast cancer. They're both doing well, so I thank you for your prayers and continued prayers as they get to a new baseline in their lives.
Thank you. Continued prayers for that family. Prayer here as well.
Gretchen Green. As some of you know, my daughter-in-law had a massive stroke on February 16th, and she's been in the hospital and in rehab in Schenectady. She is now back home. I ask for prayers for her and my son and their girls. Physically, she's coming along, but the emotional, mental part hasn't connected, and so comprehension and memory loss and all that is what they're dealing with. So continued prayers, please. Thank you.
Amen. Continued prayers for your daughter, Gretchen. Not seeing any other hands, though.
Oh, yes,
there is. I do.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the victims and the families of the shooting in California in the synagogue. Also for those in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador as they face a lot of turmoils and try to make their way to the United States. And lastly, for a very good friend of mine who is only 39 years old and looks like she's going to have terminal cancer. And so prayers for her.
Prayers for her, indeed. And also prayers this morning. We offer prayers for Randy Mosier, who's been in the hospital with pneumonia. We offer prayers for Jeannie Bauman and the entire family in the death of Jeannie's mother. Also prayers for Beth Marconi's husband, who is in the hospital with possible kidney stones. God, let us continue this time of prayer. O risen Christ, be with us this day. We recognize your wounded hands. They tell us that you know what it is to struggle and suffer and to prevail in the power of love. We grasp those hands that they may lead us together into a deeper place of peace. Our week has left worries, answerless questions, and blatant injustices, and unexpected disappointments. We are weary. Come, O risen Christ, and receive our burdens as we empty our cares into your loving hands. Extend to us your joy. Give us imagination enough to pursue your abundant life. Pour into us the freshness of your new life. For you are our strength and our might. How wonderful you are for your loving kindness to us. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us give. Let us give with great joy in our hearts from the abundance that God has shared with us. Let us receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
from our hearts and from our hands, we joyfully present these gifts to you, O God, that they may be used to serve you and to bless your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. An Easter song as it does a Christmas one. We'll show that snow today. For new life is bursting all around us. I hope you can feel it with your hands, with your mouths, with your eyes and your noses, and with your hearts. With your entire bodies, go out and live the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. Go with the power of God, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit. What it takes to be the church. Alleluia. Amen.